Good morning, everyone. We're so excited you're here with us at Noble Assembly God. Why don't you stand with us? We're going to sing a Christmas carol.
Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen, amen. Who's glad? Who's glad to be in the house of the Lord? Come on. Come on. Who's got a little bit of Christmas cheer? Come on. You got to be happy today. This is a good season. And this is a season we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so I'm glad to be here with you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are in this place with us. And we thank you that, Lord, as we focus in on worship, as we focus in on your word, as we focus in prayer, Lord, that we've come here today, Lord, not only to lift up your name, but to bring every need that we have and lay them at your feet. Lord, I pray that we leave here different than we came. Lord, I pray we leave here with less burden. I pray, Lord, that we leave here with more joy and more peace. Lord, that you would pour your spirit into us today, and that we will have left in an hour and a half or so from here at the end of the service, knowing that we have invested our time wisely, Lord, in the midst of your presence. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Kelly, will you hand me my... I didn't grab my sheet there. Thank you. Well, you can be seated. You can be seated. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My assistant here. Thank you, my lovely assistant. Well, we're glad that you're here in the house of the Lord this morning, and want to welcome you to Noble Assembly. If you're a guest today, in the seat back in front of you is a visitor card, and we'd ask that you'd fill that out and put that in the offering bag that will pass in just a little bit. And but we're glad that you are here. And want to share with you a few announcements this morning. We've got lots of things happening here at the church, and don't want you to miss any of them. Tonight, we'll have a Sunday evening service. Pastor Steve will be sharing with us again. And so at 6 o'clock, we'd love for you to come and worship with us and be a part of that service right here in the sanctuary. And our New Year's Eve, 21-day New Year's Eve fast, is right around the corner. We always begin it right at the beginning of the year. This year, Pastor chosen to begin it right on January 1st and go from the 1st to the 21st. So you've got a whole month to be thinking about how you can participate in the fast. And can I tell you this? I think that the church having a fast is most effective if we all do it together. And so maybe you're gonna fast sweets, or maybe you're gonna fast social media, or maybe you're gonna do a Daniel fast. And if you don't know what that is, we can share with you what that is. Maybe you're gonna do juice and water. I don't know. But may the Lord guide you in what He would have you to do. And I think the Lord will reward us as a church as we all are active in this discipline of fasting, of putting something aside and replacing that time we would do that, eat that, participate in that activity, and focus more on time with the Lord. How many know time with the Lord is well spent? Amen? Amen. 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 How many of you are distracted by my jacket? All right, well, I've got a different one for the next 2 weeks, so it will not be the same one. Pay attention, people, pay attention. We have Connect Group. We have Connect Group next week, and we're going to have it at 6 p.m. next Sunday night, and it'll be all together. So all the Connect Groups, even if your Connect Group maybe hasn't met in the last couple of meetings or whatever, you're still invited to come and be a part of the Connect Group here. And so my group will be here, Pastor's group, all the groups being here, and we're going to provide pizza and soda, and we're asking that you bring a Christmas goodie, and we're just going to have some good fellowship and time together. All right. And so next Sunday evening, I want you to come and be a part of that. It'll start at 6 p.m. And I think you will not regret coming. This Saturday is our Christmas outreach. I brought one of the gifts up. I'm going to actually put it on the tree here in a minute. But those of you that signed up to make a shoebox for a young person, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Our goal was 100, and we exceeded our goal, so let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen to that. And so if you signed up and you've got a gift, you just haven't brought it in yet, if you could do your very best to bring that in by Wednesday, so the Wednesday service, or you can bring it anytime tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, even during the day, we'll be here in the office. That will help me as we get prepared for the Christmas in the Hood outreach. And raise your hand right now if you are signed up or you're planning to go with us this Saturday, just real quick. Okay, those of you that are raising your hand, right over here in this section, right after service, I need to meet with you. So please don't rush off at the end of service, before you go off to lunch. I promise it'll be quick, but it's very important that I meet with everybody who's going to go volunteer, because I have some instruction about what that's going to look like and how we're going to do it, okay? So if you would just wait just a moment after service, we're just going to meet for a couple of moments, and then we'll be done, okay, on that. We don't forget that on Tuesdays from 10 to 11, we have intercessory prayer. How many of you know prayer works? Amen. Okay. God's still in the healing business. God's still in the delivering business. God still hears the cries of His people. And so every Tuesday, we have a group that's faithful to come and meet right here in the sanctuary. Usually on this side and pray together. And I know that they would be fine with you coming to meet with them and praying with them. They'd love to have an addition to their group. And I always love to walk by, and sometimes I join in, but sometimes I'm doing other things, but I look in knowing, reassured that they're interceding for the needs. They go over the list. When you present your need, this is a group that goes over those needs and prays for them. And so you can be reassured that when you call the church and say, hey, my loved one is sick, or I need prayer for finances or whatever, that we have a group that actively every week prays for those needs. And so would love for you to be a part of that. And then the last announcement I have is this. We're doing the live nativity. It's going to be on the corner, December 19th to the 23rd. And is it the 19th, Miss, or is it the 20th to the 23rd? Okay, so Saturday is the setup day on the 19th, and then the actual live nativity is the 20th through the 23rd. Sergeant Donna, wave your hand over there. She's in charge of it. Right now, we just have very few that have signed up so far. If you'd like to be a part of it, if we get a lot of people to sign up, then we only need so many each day, and that way we kind of carry the responsibility of volunteering so that people don't have to volunteer maybe multiple days unless they just want to. And so how many people do we need each day? Yeah. Yeah. So it would be great if we had 5 or 6 people for each night, so that, yeah, we have costumes, we have shepherds, and she said she could dress me up as a sheep, and so, so that was a bad joke. Okay, and so anyway, they're going to be this Saturday, they're going to be decorating and getting it looking just right, this Saturday? The 19th, not this Saturday. This Saturday we're going to the Christmas in the Hood, all right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this welcome to my world in December. Dates begin to swirl in my head. I do know that Christmas is on the 25th, though, Pastor. It's on the 25th. So a week from this Saturday, we're going to be setting up, decorating it all. And so love for you to be a part of that. All you have to do is look on the out in the foyer there. There's a sign up for that. Please, please, please sign up and be a part of that. It's a great testimony and ministry to our community. They love to drive through and see the live nativity. And we haven't done it the last couple of years, and we've had people in our community asking about it. And so we'd love to be able to make that happen, and we think it's a great endeavor. So I'm going to ask the usher to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 All right. I'm going to pray with a tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you so much for your blessing, and we thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. We thank you for this season of giving. And Lord, I ask right now that you would just multiply all that's given. Lord, I pray you just help us to remain faithful in not only our tithe, but our offering. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So once the offering plate passes by, if you'll stand up, let's go back to the Lord and worship.
I am surrounded on every side, can't see the I am persuaded beyond all hope, you won't let go of me. I stake my claim on every word you say, you will not be late, and I will sing through fire and thunder, 'cause you are. You are a faithful God.
faithful. We look at the things that are happening in our country today, and some of us are worried. But Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength. He's always ready to help in time of trouble. It doesn't say he can help. It doesn't say he's able to. It says he's always ready. He's always ready. Whatever we need him, he's ready. We just have to ask. And Luke 18:27 says that Jesus said, what is impossible for man is not impossible for God. Or is impossible, is possible for God. I said that wrong. But everything is possible for God. All we have to do is trust and believe, because he loves us and he cares about us. So if you're living in fear today, there's no reason to, because God is in control. And all we have to do is just say, your will be done. Your will be done. Just thank you, Jesus.
You breathe and your light shines in. You speak and my fears grow dim. Every word burning deep within. And I am overwhelmed again. I am I love you, 'cause I love you. stop singing your love to me. For the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love yous, 'cause I love you. To your I love yous, 'cause I love you. To your I love yous, 'cause I love you. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We just worship the name of the Lord this morning. We praise you, Jesus. We just want to spend more time with you in your presence, Lord. We just praise you, Jesus. We just give you glory and honor. You know, I know I don't spend enough time in your presence, and Lord, I want to change that. I want to seek your face more than ever before, especially during the times that we're in. We need you. We need you more than ever. The peace that you grant us and the understanding that we can have. Lord, we need that. I need that. I just want a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring of you, not only for me, but in my family and in my church. Lord, I just pray that you would just pour your spirit out on each of us. Lord, I want to come every day to your church or to your house, Lord, and expect a miracle and know it's going to happen. I want that kind of power that flows through this congregation, that we're not afraid to speak your name, to tell others about you, that you send us forth to be a light in a world that is so dark right now. I just praise you, Father, Lord, because I believe that you're going to do that. I believe that this church will become a hospital. It'll be a lighthouse for not only Noble, but for all the surrounding area, across the entire state. Lord, I believe that. I stand here proclaiming it, that it's going to happen. And Lord, let it start in me. Let it start in my heart. Let it start in my life. Because I want more of you, more of you, more of you, more of you, so much that I can't contain it, that it overflows, Jesus. I just thank you, Father, Lord. I thank you for that spirit that you're going to send. I thank you for everything that you're going to do for all the needs in this church, Lord. As we seek you, we praise you, Jesus, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. I seek you. more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Praise God. We have some people we want to pray for this morning. Pastor Chad is still recovering from the virus, and so we want to pray for him and his family. Sheila Weissman has a little cousin who is 6 years old, has been diagnosed with leukemia. So we want to pray for this little one. Sandy Jackson attended here for many years, and her sister Stacy passed away of the virus this week. So we want to pray for Stacy's family. Tony's having surgery on Monday. So Tony, we're going to be praying for you. Pray that the Lord takes care of you and that everything goes well. Let's lift him up. Sue and Al Loyable both need the healing touch. Sue is in the hospital and Al is in a rehabilitation type hospital or place, and so we want to pray for them. My dad is having some real terrific pain in his back and in his legs. He's got a pinched nerve, and so I told my dad, they're watching this morning, they're not at their service, and so we're praying for my dad that the Lord would touch him and my mother as well. Richard Blevins just gave me a note that Ed Autry, who is the manager at Walmart, has pneumonia and has taken a turn for the worse this morning. He works with Richard there, so we want to pray for Mr. Autry that the Lord would touch him. And then continue to pray, as we do, for our country and for the election, that our nation be healed and that truth and righteousness prevail. Amen. Father God, we just join together and we lift up these needs this morning. We thank you, Father God, that there is power in prayer, as Pastor Phil mentioned earlier. We thank you, Lord, that you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're in the midst. And when two or three agree, Lord, there is power in that agreement. And so, Father, we just pray for Pastor Chad and his family, that you would touch him and Amanda. We pray for this little six-year-old who has leukemia. We just ask that you just touch this little girl. We pray for Stacy's family, Sandy's sister. We just pray that you would comfort them. And as she has gone to heaven, Lord, we just pray that you would just minister to their need today and to the comfort that only you can give. We pray for Tony, Lord, that you would just be with him as he has surgery tomorrow. I pray that you be with him, that you just help the doctors and those performing the surgery, that everything goes well, then he has no complications or problems. So Lord, we just lift him up to you. We pray for Sue and Al today, that you would touch them both and help them and heal them. Lord, we just pray for my dad today. I pray that you would just touch him, just touch this nerve that is causing him so much pain in his leg and back. We just, in the name of Jesus, agree together for his healing. We pray for Ed Autry today, that you would touch him, that you would minister to him right now. Take away this pneumonia, Lord, and just give him the healing that he needs. We just lift him up to you today. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for the election that's still being figured out. We just pray, Lord, that righteousness and truth will prevail and that you would bring revival to our nation, to our country. Bless all the other needs, Lord, today. I know there's probably each one of us have things in our heart that we could use your help with. And so we pray that you would just supply and take care of every one of us today. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We pray for healing for this virus. We just pray, Lord, that you would touch those affected and those sick. We pray that you would bring an end to this virus and that we would all be well. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I hope everybody can come back tonight. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching a message entitled The Acts of Acts. And so going to be a kind of a spinoff from the message that we talked about on Wednesday night when we talked about maintaining your edge. We talked about keeping your axe sharp. And so this kind of a message along those same lines. But anyway, the Acts of Acts. But this morning, as we enter into this Christmas season, I want to remind us all of the true meaning of Christmas in a message that I've entitled The G-I-F-T, The Gift. And so obviously from seeing the little title on the screen there behind me, you see that it is an acrostic. If you know me pretty well, you know that's a favorite of mine. I like acrostics. And so before I tell you what G-I-F-T stands for, let me ask you a question. Do you remember getting a really awesome gift as a child or a teen? You remember some gift that just stands out? Not necessarily a Christmas gift, but something back years ago. How many of you remember a specific gift that you got at one time? Yeah, most of us have some kind of gift that was really special to us. I certainly do, and I'll tell you a little story about that. I was raised in Enid, Oklahoma, and as a little kid, my brother and I, we liked mini bikes. We wanted to have a mini bike. Some friends of ours had two Honda 50s. They had a little red Honda 50 and a little blue one, and we just loved those. We loved to go to their house and get to ride them. And so we were begging our parents, Lord, or not Lord, Mom, Dad, we want a mini bike. And on Broadway Street in Enid, there was a Honda shop called Devers Motors. And so we would, every time we got a chance, we would go by and dream a little bit and look at those Honda 50s and those Honda 70s. You know, this was about 1971, 72, right in there. And we were just hoping that my dad would say, well, boys, pick you out one. And, of course, that never happened. But we kept dreaming and kept hoping someday we were going to get a mini bike. And so the year was 1972. As I said, I was 11. My brother was 9. And we were staying at my grandparents' house, which we did a lot in the summer. And my parents had gone to Oklahoma City to pick out some lighting for a house that my father was building. And so when they got back from the city, my grandparents lived in Garber, Oklahoma, and they came back and we were out in the backyard playing, and my parents came around the corner and said, hey, we're back, and hey, Mom, Dad, and you know, I think my brother and I was catching grasshoppers or something like that and putting them in a jar, you know, doing something really exciting like that. And so we sat down there, and Mom and Dad said, well, come around here and let's show you the light fixtures we picked out. Well, my brother and I didn't care a hoot about the light fixtures, you know. So what? We're catching grasshoppers. But they insist, no, come on, come around the house. Okay, so we go around the side of the house, and we get towards the driveway, and I could see the back end of the car was tied down with a rope, and all I could see was a knobby tire sticking out. And I remember yelling, mini bikes! And sure enough, they had gone to Oklahoma City, and they did look for lights, but while they were there, they picked up a couple of RUPP, R-U-P-P, mini bikes. And I think we have a picture of them there. They were silver and red, and man, that was the happiest day of our childhood when we got those RUPP mini bikes. I wish I had them back. I think they would be worth quite a little bit of money now, but we had a fun time playing on those mini bikes, and I'll always remember the day. I think my dad said he paid $300 for them, which I, I put that in the on the internet to say, what is $300 in 1972? What is that in today's money? And that would be close to $2,000. So, you know, that was quite a chunk of change. If something cost $2,000, that wasn't something cheap. And so, anyway, we had a lot of fun, my brother and I, riding those mini bikes and making trails in the addition where we were moving to and all that. So, however, there was another day that stands out as the day I received the greatest gift ever. And that is the day that I got saved. The day that I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sins. And I received the gift of salvation. I don't remember the actual date of that day that I asked Jesus to come into my heart, but I do know the date that I made a public confession of that most wonderful gift. My parents had saved my baptism certificate from when I was baptized in water and confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there it is. It was, I don't know if you can read it or not, certificate of baptism. This certifies that Stephen Lee Lance, born July 16th, 1961, was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost on the 11th day of April in the year of our Lord, 1971, Main Church of the Nazarene, Enid, Oklahoma, George C. Prentice, pastor. Amen. I'm glad I have that. I'm glad to know that about almost 10 years old, 9.5 years old, that I was baptized in water. And that day was the day that my name, actually not that day, but the day I asked Jesus was the day that my name was written down in the book of life. The day that my sins were forgiven and I became a child of God. The day that a transformation began and is still in action nearly 50 years later. That's a little bit of my testimony and my story of my salvation. Each one of you have your own story. I trust that you have that story. If you're here today and you don't have a story, today can be your day. Yeah, I went to church on December 6, 2020. I got saved that day. I would love it if somebody... Actually, today was your salvation day. And at the end of this message, we're going to give you an opportunity, if you don't know the Lord, to do that. So with that, now let me tell you the acrostic for this message, if you haven't figured it out already. I know some of you have been thinking, you haven't even listened to what I've been saying. You've been thinking, what is G-I-F-T? What is that? What do you think that is? Well, here's what it is. It's God's invitation for transformation. God's invitation for transformation. Aren't you glad you've received the gift? Amen. Amen. I trust that you know what I'm talking about and that you have received that gift. That is the greatest, most life-changing, most rewarding, and longest-lasting gift you will ever get. Because it's eternal. It never runs out. It never wears out. It never breaks. But it's yours forever. Look with me at a scripture found in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the message today, and we thank you for every single person here. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to every single one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to look at this wonderful gift of salvation from three angles this morning. First of all, the giver. The giver. With every gift comes a giver. The giver, of course, in this case, is God. Verse 4 of our text said, but when the right time came, God sent his son. Aren't you so thankful for that? God thought it before the world ever began. God planned. In Revelation 13:8, it talks about how there was a lamb who was slain from the very foundation of the world. From the creation of the world. You see, God in his foreknowledge knew that man would need a savior, that man would sin, that Adam and Eve would sin, and the whole human race would be plunged into sin, and that they would need a savior, that we would need a savior to be restored back to fellowship with him. John 3:16, that we've all heard all of our life and probably can quote, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved. The giver is God. When he walked into the Garden of Eden and he was looking for Adam and Eve after they had sinned, he wasn't looking to clobber them. He was looking to clothe them. Amen? He was looking to provide a covering for their sin. He wanted to cover their sin, and he went and he slew some animals, and he dressed them in animal skin until the time would come when and a couple of 4,000 years later that Jesus would come as the Lamb of God and would take upon himself all of our sins and pay the price to cover our sins and take away our sins once and for all. So many people believe and perceive the wrong picture of God. They see God as an angry judge up there in heaven, ready to clean their plow, so to speak. And yet God is not that. He is a loving God. He's ready to clean up their heart and give them life, and give them life more what? Abundantly. That's right. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not God. When Jesus came and died on the cross, he satisfied the justice of God, of a holy God, and made a way for us to be saved and set free from condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus took upon himself the penalty of our sin. Either you allow Christ to pay for your sin, or you pay for your sin. Either way, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is what? Death. Either you pay the price for sin, or the Lord pays the price for sin and you receive what he has done for you. Like the old gospel song says, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's son, took my place. Jesus took our place, all because God, the giver, so loved the world. Christmas is about Christ coming to save us, bringing us all the gift of all gifts. The gift of all gifts. The gift of himself and the gift of eternal life and joy that he has for us in heaven. So God thought it and God bought it by sending Jesus to be our Savior. And that leads to my second point. Not only do we have the giver, but we have the getters. Aren't you glad you're a getter? What's the purpose of a gift from a giver if there's no getters to get it from? That's almost a tongue twister, isn't it? What's the purpose of getting a gift if there's no one to give it to? The getters are those who accept God's invitation by faith. It's grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. The Lord never forces anyone to receive and accept his gift. He doesn't want to force you to serve him. He doesn't want to force people to become his children. He wants everyone to do that, but he won't force anyone. All have been invited when they hear the good news. And it's so important for us as a church to be sharing the good news. I thank the Lord for our church and our missions program and our outreaches and all that share the good news, that tell the world that Jesus loves them and that Jesus is the Savior of the world. However, there are those that reject the invitation. They don't want Christ. They, you know, like I said, the Lord isn't going to force anyone. They want to continue on the path to their ultimate destruction. You see, God doesn't reject people. People reject God. God's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. He wants all to be saved. Joshua 24:15 says, choose today. Let me just read the whole verse. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The Lord says, choose. And there's one verse in the Bible where he even tells us the answer. Choose life. Choose life. It's a choice that we have to make. Revelations 3:20, Pastor Phil talked about this last Sunday in the great message he preached. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. He knocks at the door. He knocks. He says, hey, I'm here. If you want me, I'm here. I want to give you life. I want to forgive you of your sins. I want to take you to heaven with me someday. But he will never force anyone. It's been said that the door of a man's heart only has one handle, and it's on the inside. We have to open up the door. There's not a handle on the outside of the heart. The Lord will not open your heart and say, hey, I'm moving in. Like it or not, I'm moving in. You must open the door and say, come in. Just like I did when I was 9 years old. You must accept his invitation for transformation if you're going to be a getter. Some people only accept the invitation when they come to the end of their rope. That's okay. I'd rather a person come to the end of their rope and get saved than to reject Christ. In fact, and really in a way, all of us have to come to the end of our rope. We have to see that we are a sinner, that we can't save ourselves, that we need a Savior, and we lay down our pride and we lay down our self-will, which is hard to do in our country today. It's hard in our country where we seem to have everything for people to humble themselves and say, I need Jesus. I need a Savior. Self-will and pulling yourself by your bootstraps up is something that's really respected and looked up to in our country. You got to be a self-made person. The Bible says you have to humble yourselves as a child and come to him. So pride and self-will can be hard to break down in our society. But don't wait too long. People put it off. Well, don't wait too long because you never know. There's going to come a day when it's going to be too late. A lot of people, some of you watching by the internet today, you haven't accepted Christ and you're just waiting for some other time. You're waiting maybe till you get older. Don't wait. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. How do you know we're not guaranteed tomorrow? And once you take your last breath, there is no overs. You can't say, oh, wait a minute, God. I really did want to accept you. It's over. It's done. I've never met anyone in my life who truly knows Christ that regretted that decision. But I have met some people who regretted that they didn't make it earlier. I just wish I would have become a Christian earlier. I've heard people that got saved later in life or in midlife and say, man, why didn't I come to the Lord when I was a child or as a teenager, even in my 20s? Why did I mess around so long? We've looked at the giver. We've looked at the getters. Thirdly, the goal. The goal. The goal of the invitation from God is transformation. He wants to transform us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it all. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. You are transformed. You are made new. You are transformed from the inside out. A relationship with Christ starts on the inside and works out. Religion works on the outside and goes in. A relationship, Christianity, is God reaching down to man. Religion is man reaching up to God. I would much rather have a relationship than a religion. Amen. Religion won't save you, but a relationship with Christ will save you. He works from the inside out. His Spirit comes in and he begins to work on you. And all of a sudden, the things you used to do, you no longer want to do anymore. Dr. Terry Trammell, one of my good friends, posted on Facebook, and I just shared it this morning, a story about transformation. Let me find this here. Because maybe, I didn't share it earlier because I didn't want you to see it, but I thought, well, before I shared it, but this morning I went ahead and shared it so I could find it easier on my phone. Says, Max Lucado tells a story of a man who had been a closet slob most of his life. He just couldn't comprehend the logic of neatness. Why make up a bed if you're going to sleep in it again tonight? Why put the lid on the toothpaste tube if you're going to take it off again in the morning? He admitted to being compulsive about being messy. Then he got married. His wife was patient. She said she didn't mind his habits if he didn't mind sleeping on the couch. Since he did mind, he began to change. He said he enrolled in a 12-step program for slobs. I didn't know they had one of those. A physical therapist helped him rediscover the muscles used for hanging up shirts and placing toilet paper on the holder. His nose was reintroduced to the smell of Pine Sol. By the time in-laws arrived for a visit, he was a new man. But then came that moment of truth. His wife went out of town for a week. At first, he reverted to the old man. He figured he could be a slob for 6 days and clean up on the seventh. But something strange happened. He could no longer relax with dirty dishes in the sink or towels flung around the bathroom or clothes on the floor, sheets piled up like a mountain on the bed. What happened? Simple. He had been exposed to a higher standard of living. And so it is when we are transformed by the grace of God. Once we have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, he calls us to a higher plane of living. No longer do we love what we used to love and hate what we used to hate. This is transformation. Amen. That's what it's all about. Transformation. When you accept the invitation by Christ to get saved, the Bible says in John 3:3 that you are born again. I think we have that scripture up there. Or did I give you that one? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. There's this song that I think the Gaithers may have wrote it several years ago called Bullfrogs and Butterflies. You remember that? They've both been what? Born again. Bullfrogs and butterflies. A bullfrog starts out as a tadpole. Butterflies start out as a caterpillar. And they're born again. They're transformed. And that's exactly what happens in our life. We are transformed from the person we were to the person God wants us to be. And the process begins when you repent of your sins and you confess Christ in your heart and with your mouth. The process continues as you grow in your relationship and you gain maturity until the day the Lord takes you home to heaven. Yesterday, two men in our community who loved God and had accepted God's invitation were celebrated at their memorial services. Richard Brindley, who was my neighbor and also the once mayor of Noble, he also was my buddy when I worked the chain gang for the Noble High School football. He worked on that with me for probably 12 years. Richard Brindley went to be with the Lord a couple of months ago, and they just had his memorial service yesterday at Cross Point. Richard loved the Lord. Dedicated Christian man. I didn't get to go to his funeral because I chose to go to Daryl Kastner. I couldn't make up my mind. I love both of these men, but I went to Daryl Kastner. How many of you knew Brother Daryl? Daryl was the music minister at First Baptist Church in Noble for 30 years. He tuned our piano several times. Both of these men, Richard and Daryl, are now enjoying the reward of the invitation that they accepted many, many years ago. They are enjoying the blessing of becoming an heir of God, as we read a moment ago, as God's own child. They're enjoying what the Lord prepared for them, what the Lord promised. They are glad at this point that their name was in the book. They didn't take it for granted because they were good people. They made sure that they knew Christ as their Savior. You see, there's going to be a lot of good people that's not going to make it. I preached a message a couple years ago called, "There Won't Be Any Aunt Bees in Heaven." If you're an Andy Griffith Show fan like I am, you know Aunt Bee's a sweet little Aunt Bee. She wouldn't have hurt a flea. But if that's what you're banking on to get you to heaven, you're banking on the wrong thing. It's only the blood of Jesus that gets us to heaven. It's only kneeling and confessing our need for Him that gets us to heaven. Our good works won't do it. Have you accepted God's invitation for transformation? The best gift you can ever receive is Jesus Christ in your heart. Following Him and finding fulfillment and serving Him until the day He takes you home. Amen? It's really as simple as ABC. Admit you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not anybody that is not a sinner. Billy Graham would be the first to tell you that if he were alive today, and he did that all of his ministry. I was a sinner. I needed a Savior. So admit, I'm a sinner. I need the Lord. Secondly, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then see, confess Him with your mouth and by being baptized and by following Him and living for Him. Confess Christ as your Savior. ABC, that's how you get saved. Aren't you thankful for God's gift? God's gift for transformation. God's invitation for transformation. Father God, I pray, Lord, right now, if there's anybody here or anybody watching over the live stream that is not sure of their salvation, that does not know You, that does not believe in You, that right now, Lord, that You would speak to their heart. Father, I pray that right now they would say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, I want to live for You. I want to follow You. I want to know You. Lord, I want to receive the greatest gift of all today, on this first day of the Christmas season, this first Sunday in December. I want to know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone here today to say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to accept Christ today. I need to accept Jesus. Just lift up your hand and pray for you. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I trust everyone is ready today. I trust everyone has Christ in their heart and is forgiven. With that, this morning we are going to receive communion. We're going to ask the men who are going to serve if they would come and take their place. I'm going to ask you to come forward and receive the communion today and find a place to pray, either back at your seat or around the altar area, and say, God, help me to continue to follow You and serve You and be a witness for You. Somebody made the statement today that, I think it was Brother Ronnie in Sunday school, that there's only like 3% of people actually confess Christ as Savior. 97% of the people around us don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Remember, it's a narrow road that people are on that go to heaven. The wide road leads to destruction. So there's a lot of people around us that don't know Christ as Savior. Our prayer should be, God, use me to win the lost around me. Father God, as we prepare for communion right now, I just thank you, Jesus, as we search our own hearts. You said when we do this, we need to search our hearts. As we pause to remember you as Lord and Savior, help us to reflect on our own relationship. Help us to remember that you've called us to serve you and that we need to repent of anything that stands in the way of that. And so, Father, we do that right now. Jesus, forgive us of all sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness as we remember you on this day. In Corinthians chapter 10, before you come, let me just read this. Chapter 11, rather. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." The team is going to sing. We invite you to come and receive communion this morning.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within than the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And the music fades, and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you. It's all about you.
Stand and sing it again.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you.
Yes,
it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace, your mercy, and your peace. And Lord, today we pray that you would just help us to go forth with that on our hearts, appreciating the gift of transformation and doing our best to share that gift with others. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.